All right, folks, let's start this. I'm going to call to order the meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for June 14th, 2017. If you all please set your cell phones to stun, and let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, next up, roll call. Mrs. Lambert.
Alex
here.
Tom Bezzecchi.
Here.
Anthony Garnett.
Here.
Ron Heron, absent. Dave Castellano.
Here.
Yvonne Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. All right, I wasn't here for last month's meeting. I apologize for that, but we have to still approve the minutes. Is there any modifications, changes, motions? What say you?
Sir, how smoothly things went.
Outstanding. You could have the gavel, man.
No, sir, Mr. Chairman. I'd make a motion to be approved in a minute.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Be there none. I have abstained. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approved.
Next is Chairman of the Report. Happy summer. Inspections, I guess, were just finished on this 200 and... what is it now, Dan? $75 million man-made flood control project. The preliminary feedback that we've gotten from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is that this will be the first time in the history of this project everything has gone through, been inspected, and is earmarked to be passed. So it's a golf clap for a lot of people for doing this for a long time. But let's not lose sight of the fact that the yellowing, greenish pictures are what happens if somebody doesn't take care of man-made projects. It's an ongoing thing. Maintenance is something just like the house. If you don't do it, bad things happen. So if you haven't had a chance to look at some of those things, please do, because this thing's all pretty straightforward. Everybody seems to get into a little groove. But for all intent and purposes, this is a major economic development for our community and making sure things do what they're supposed to do. But never lose sight of the fact that we are trying to manage Mother Nature. 10 gallons of water in our 5-gallon bucket is going to cause us some concerns and some issues. However, we're far better ready and prepared now than we were prior to that event right there. Again, thank you for being engaged, helping us get to this point. We're going to continue to try to do this in an efficient, effective manner. That being said, moving on. We're going to do the finance report and the approval of the claims for June of 2017. We're going to need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the claims in the amount of $807,849.17, which also includes $500,000 as our last installment payment to the RDK.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Some discussion, Mr. Repad. $500,000 is a lot of money in my world.
It sure is, but it's the good thing is it's the last payment that we have to make. So.
And what was that total again? Just refreshing.
$6 million. The first payment we made, I believe, was 3.5, or was it 2.4? All I know is this is the last payment, which is a happy little thing for me. I can take that off my little dry erase board in my office. So of
that's
that,
a big one.
No, I mean the total of $807,500,000 of it is the payment for the RDA, and that will be by law has to be to them by July 1st. So we, since this is the last meeting before that, we put it on the agenda, but we will not pay it until June 30th. A couple other items that of note: City of Hobart drawing down $25,000 for their Wisconsin Street improvement. $22,000 for the first cycle of grass cutting, and if it just seems like, I don't know, the spring time it took off, and now with 97 degree weather it died, but now with this rain it's going to take off again. The next mowing will start next week in anticipation, so all the levees will be complete by the time 4th of July rolls around. Patrick Engineering for $37,000, they're the folks engineering the bridge in Hobart. And then we've got a couple odds and ends of Grant Street. with Sweeney, which that's their last one, as they transition out of as our maintenance electrical engineer. And then as well as Xylem Water Solutions, which is $14,000 for the Grand Street West Pump 2, and that would complete all the pumps at Grand Street West being completely rehabbed. So all three pumps are up and running there. All four pumps are up and running, plus the sump pump at Burr South, which is why you stole my report as to say that the inspections were complete and all went well. So I really have no executive director's report after this. So.
Well, how about this? You did an outstanding job in getting those things all completed before the inspections. Golf clap. All right. So we appreciate
that. We have good contractors.
And then also just for your all edification is that the pump stations are obviously taking care of highly critical areas of the system to the point where they have not been performing. And we've had to do a lot of duct tape and Band-Aids. So this is the first time in quite a while that stretch is now all set up as originally designed, maintained, and ready to go. And they'll be folded into the plan that we have encompassed for this federal flood control project. Sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Well, that's really it as far as the major ones that I see, and maybe I've missed a couple, and certainly you guys will point them out to me.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Repay as it relates to the claims? Be there or none, there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Tom Vasecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, next up is the executive director's report with the, good part taken out by the chairman who took all the credit for the inspections.
I didn't take any credit.
I know that's a lot of work for you,
man. You took all the credit. And you should get all the credit.
So that was a lot of work, though. Maybe you could explain a little bit of what that entailed.
Well, the last part was started in June 4th, I believe, was the date of the inspections. This section of the inspections, Hammond, Munster, Highland, what were done in May. This part was for Griffith and Gary, both Gary North, Gary South, Burr Street. The month preceding that was all getting everything ready to make sure the grass was cut, making sure the pump stations, all the pumps were in order, which they were, making sure that everything was exercised, and it was. So that's what basically occurred from the May meeting to June. It passed tentatively, and so we'll get a draft here in the next month or so. We'll have a meeting up at the headquarters to go over things that we may need to be able to improve upon, and then sometime, hopefully in September, we'll get the final reports. And hopefully, I think if all indications are correct, as you mentioned, everything will at least minimally be acceptable throughout the entire system. So that's what most of May was entailed, as well as getting ready with all these other bids that we're opening, whether it be the manholes, the paving for both the rest of Hammond and Gary, in which, by the way, Gary South has been completely paved as of today. They have paved from Chase Street on the south side all the way to Martin Luther King. They finished that up this morning. So I was out there actually when they were doing that. So Gary North, Hammond are the next parts that need to be paved, and that should complete all paving of the tops of the levee throughout the entire system, which will, A, not only help us monitor situation better without causing rutting and difficulty, but also provide a conduit for people to bike, walk, run, whatever you want to do. Well, as long as there's no emergency, so.
Or ATVs.
ATVs really don't like the asphalt so much, so I'm going to be pretty happy about that. So other than that, that's really it. And I look forward to seeing what kind of bids we get here for these other projects, because, as I said, the paving's important. We have a SCADA system, which we talked about last meeting. You weren't here, where, right now we have to go out to each pump station to make sure that they are working. Hopefully after this is put together, we'll be able to do it, from here, from my phone, from your tablet. Our contractor, who is Glenn, would be able to do the same thing to make sure that, in fact, these pump stations are working without having to physically go out there. It wouldn't mean that it would replace it, but it's certainly at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's something that's a lot easier to deal with than
been going out there, so.
Okay, bring it back to the board. Any questions for Mr. Repay?
Yeah.
Dan, over I-65 South 37th Bridge Road.
Hold on. Okay, gotcha.
Wet.
Right, so we're actually, myself and the chairman are having a meeting tomorrow to discuss that matter. It's called Lateral 6. They've started, they meaning the county has already started working on part of the fix, which is actually, it actually comes around and makes a giant C by Bailey School. There's a one more component that needs to be, I don't want to say dredged, but retrenched as far as to show and to help the drainage through there, and then they can do it. The problem is we've done it twice now. We've opened that dam up, and the beavers are keeping, so we need to trap and release that to a nice little place.
Nice farm somewhere.
Until we can get that person or that beaver, it's going to be an ongoing battle, and we need to lower the water level for that to really disrupt his cycle or their cycle. Because we've done it, like I said, we've done it twice already. It's some, we've seen some improvement, but we know, and because we hear from the folks in Hobart as well, that it's actually creeping up on some houses over there on the west side of 65, south of Old Ridge Road.
Okay.
So wow. Yeah, it's, that's one topic we're dealing with the county with tomorrow.
Okay. And then the other question I had, maybe not a question, but just a comment. A while back we talked about, now we've got Gary South paved, We're going Gary North, To think about a connection point between the two.
We're working on trying to find something that will work between, and if the connection's at Chase Street, that's where it needs to happen. If you go north of Chase, you sort of have a more industrial feel to it. It goes right next to the interstate, which isn't as exciting as going to the south, which is the where more of the nature is, and a lot of people like to walk. So we're trying to find something that will function without causing disruption. We do have a lot of foot traffic in that area of people and fishermen and all kinds of good stuff over there. So we want to make sure that no one tries to cross it with a motor vehicle either, because that would be bad.
I agree.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay?
Just one, Mr. Chair. With Patrick Engineering, it's good to see that they're on the schedule. They're about 15% complete with the CFER bridge number 434.97 over Deep River in Hobart. And just for clarification regarding the additional work that was complete for the project, is scoped out at a cost of around $418,000. They had to drill a little deeper during the structural boring based on the initial borings. Resulting soil conditions. Can you speak to that just momentarily?
Well, it's my understanding. I think when we talked about it earlier, I think it's my understanding that they're not going to charge us any extra for doing that, but it's something that they needed to make sure that they had to do to ensure that the railroad crossing was secure enough when they do end up changing the design and increasing the width of which where the water can go through. So I think that's why they had to go that extra length to make sure that we can put these things down. It functions the way it should, and we don't have any liability for the bad design. So,
okay. That's all I had, Mr. Chair.
Outstanding. When are they going to be done?
The schedule, for the design?
Yeah.
I think the schedule was 9 months. So that's March, I believe. Was commenced, so you're
end of the year.
End of year with a hopefully bid in winter.
So they don't give us an update on a schedule or something.
I think they're on schedule. Okay. There hasn't been anything that caused them issues. They did have some issues with some debris that we asked if we could help with. They took care of it themselves, and so there's nothing that has. They've come to us and they call me, or we talk at least every 2 weeks, just briefly to touch base to see where is everything at and where we can help or assist to make this thing go. So we have it in our program schedule for a construction in 18, at least I do, money-wise, to do that. that project. So that's what I've been telling Hobart as well. So.
Okay, so they're, you're giving them updates. They're on the radar. They know what's going on. Awesome.
Any other questions for Mr. Repe? Outstanding. Next up, from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Andy Mills.
Wow.
Never saw that one. I got to mix it up a little bit. It can't be the same one. I mean,
thank you.
Nice month to get some music.
Flashing lights.
Good evening, Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. A couple of updates.
Natalie, that's not on, please.
Wait, what are you doing?
There you go.
It's in power. Okay. Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I'd like to provide you with a couple of updates as far as where we are with progress on the project. With respect to Hobart Marsh Wetland Mitigation Contract, work is just continuing. They're doing seeding, clearing, and they're just going to keep on that path. You know, this is a 5-year contract, you know, pretty just moving status quo.
Not a big fan of the status quo, Mrs. Mills, but that's okay.
It's good. No.
Okay.
I mean, not a lot of issues, problems. They're just moving along, which is good. Now, Hammond Tyvek, on the other hand, I mean, they're making very good progress. You know, sometimes with contractors and their projection of their schedules, it's a lot more optimistic than what actually happens in the field. Previously, there were some questions or with respect to the borrow source submittal. They did get that submittal approved. They did do the sampling, and from the every indication we have that the material looks good for that the tie-in levy. We anticipate receipt of a report next week, I'd say by the end of next week, and then they'd be able to proceed with the actual placement of the clay. As far as the end of their schedule, they're saying the end of July, the way they're going, I would say more like August, just based on what I've seen and with their progress. So, I mean, July would be an early finish for them. And I would say that August would be a late finish. There was a question that came up from the contractor as far as where we want to have the stop locks stored. And that's a question that you know you guys and working with the city panel will need to determine where we want to store the stop locks, which is a feature of this project. We'll test it, we'll put them in place, but then they'll need to come out. Or you can store them in place. So that decision would need to be made and just let us know. We've got some time before we determine. We're just trying to think about where we're going to store them.
How many are those?
I would say about 5. They're small. No, probably 10, because they're 2 locations and about 5 like at each location.
Okay.
They're not very large. Yeah, exactly. So we just need to have just a plan for them. The Hammond contractor, they are planning to start their survey work for the concrete wall next week, just so they can be ahead, because you know I've been telling them that we need the as-built drawings completed as soon as possible. So they're going to start that feature and then get it reviewed, and then when they finish the levee, then we'd be able to they survey that area, and then they would compile a completed as-built drawing submission that we could then submit to FEMA for the lawnmower.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Miller, can you say that last part about FEMA and the LOMAR?
I'm saying that we're going to have the contractor to survey the completed feature of work, the concrete wall, so that portion can be completed and reviewed. So then once they finish the earth levy, then they'll survey that portion, and then we put it all together, and then we can submit the as-built drawing whole submission to FEMA.
Stages, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Just so we're not waiting until the end, in case there are comments on the first phase.
Okay. That it?
That is it.
Any questions from you guys?
Sure, just a quick one. That last bit about Lomar, I mean, that's basically at the end of active construction, so sounds like from what you just said, sometime in August is probably when that would occur?
Probably, yes.
Okay. And so they're going to just basically survey. So they're going to survey the wall now?
First, yes.
But then they're going to submit everything once, right?
No, they're going to submit that now. And then, I mean, obviously that'll be a comment that you're not finished, and so then they'll resubmit it. Okay. Maybe they'll get a partial approval or, you know, resubmission required.
Is that customary?
No, it's not. But we want to kind of like push it along. So just in case there are comments, they can start with that.
Okay.
Kind of streamline.
Oh, yeah, I get it. You know, sometimes with those higher headquarters people, it might be better for them, right, for a single submission, especially if there's going to be two submissions in 3 weeks' time or 4 weeks' time. But far be it from me to slow down the process. So,
any other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, next up on the agenda, moving right along, other issues and new business.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to open bids for the Hammond Levee Paving Project and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder per pending review by our attorney and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Some discussion. You're opening up envelopes. Is that the discussion?
Yes, as long as it's not the Academy Awards and I named whatever that is. What was
La,
that?
La La Land.
La La Land, I'm okay, so.
Sometimes it is La La Land, though, isn't it?
Sometimes you gotta have fun. So this is the first one that you talked about is the one dealing with Hammond, which is between Hammond Avenue going to the east to Northcott, which would complete Hammond's paving.
Okay, so there's already a path there, but we're gonna go over the, what is it, crush?
Stone, crush,
right?
Stone, yeah.
Okay.
You can go on.
I don't know. My next thing is for you to open another envelope, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Every time I do stuff like that, I get this, you know, Robert's rules thing, and they keep, you know, telling me I can't do that. And who's Robert, and how come he gets to make the rules? So, Mr. Wicklin, so to fill time, we have to go through, have him open all of these things, and then move to the next one? Is that the way the process works in the public sector?
I think you can move to the next one while he's opening.
But we didn't even vote on this one.
We didn't approve the
motion.
Keep filibustering. We'll be there.
All right.
We got to approve the motion.
So there's a motion and a second. He's going to open this for that. He told us what it is. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor of Dan opening those envelopes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Dan opens the envelopes.
Mr. Chairman, okay.
Sure.
I move that we open, that we allow Mr. Executive Director to open the bids for the Gary North Levee Paving Project and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder. Also pending review by attorney and staff.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. So, discussion. This is Dan, Gary North. Give us the start and stop points for this segment.
The start point is actually off of Colfax. The stop point is going to be, it skips a couple places, but it ends up being Martin Luther King. Ironwood-ish.
Got it. Any other discussion as it relates to that? All those in favor of Mr. Repe opening that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Giddy up.
Second. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to open the proposals for the SCADA system for the Burr South, Burr North, and Grant West pump station, and award to the lowest and most responsible bidder pending review by our attorney and our staff.
Outstanding. There's a second?
Second.
And a second? Any discussion on that? What's SCADA? Dan?
Supervisory control.
There you go.
Data
It's like the status quo to me.
You want me to answer?
It's smart.
It's our opportunity to be able to monitor what is happening at our pump stations without physically going out there as we do today.
It's utilizing technology.
Correct.
Outstanding. All right, there's a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Wait a second. Okay. Chairman, I do have some discussion on this one.
Yeah.
These were invitations that were sent to various entities to come and review our system and make their recommendation. There is no set design. It's kind of as the bidder saw it. So I'm sure that there's going to be discrepancies between the bids and what's going to be included. So I think there should be a thorough technical review of the proposal before there's any award to... I mean, the lowest might not be the most responsive. The most responsive might not be the lowest. What we really want to make sure is that we encompass all of the features that we need to make the system easier to maintain and operate.
I agree.
Billy Duggan.
I have a question too. Considering that this is a new technology, you know, I'm not a really firm believer or 100% believer in computer technology, considered hacking nowadays and viruses on computers. And I just wanted to know, hopefully, that the SCADA system is not a fail-safe system, and maybe we should be looking to see if the bidder can provide us with additional alternatives or additional backup systems like a camera system, because lo and behold, we would hate to have another mishap on the flooding if this particular system fails, or if somebody even hacks it, or their virus hits it. That's my concern.
Porter County,
you can add a video, and which is one of the inputs that you could put into this system if you want, and we recommended putting a video as well as intrusion notification. For instance, at First Street North, we have a building, but the other one, we don't have a building, so we can have intrusion into the cabinet, which means there should only really be a report of intrusion twice, and that is when our maintenance people do it, or if I did it, and that way we would know clearly who has been in there or around it. So far, knock on wood, we haven't had any issues except for some attempts at Gary, Burr South, Burr North.
So the other question I do have, Dan, is that the your office will become the command center for the SCADA system, is that right?
Our phones will be, actually, and probably you'd be able to get onto it as well. You wouldn't be able to turn on the system or turn off the system. You'd okay. just be able to tell if it's running and what type of output, or if the backup generator that we just put on Bird or it works. Sorry, I thought I talked loud enough.
No. The end.
The end. Thank you. Any other questions on the SCADA thing or discussion points? All those in favor say yes.
I was just going to say, to Commissioner Gazdecki's point, it doesn't say it right here, but Commissioner Castellanos did add the review by attorney and staff, but I guess you want to make sure that includes a technical component. I think they should normally do that, but... So what do we need to do then?
Well, I guess my major concern is awarding it to the lowest, because right. the lowest might not be
the best, the most appropriate.
Correct.
And just so you know, I sent you a lot of backup. It's a lot, but it wasn't. The recommendation doesn't go to the lowest bidder.
Right.
As it was submitted, we went out to four folks. One decided not to participate, so we had three. It ended up being the second. So the middle person. Was the one that was recommended by Garcia. Not you guys haven't seen it yet, but there's a lot of paperwork there. Every group went to the site. Every group saw each station and provided what they could do. The lowest bidder. The issue was they had to outsource everything that they did. They didn't have anything in-house, so they couldn't tell you if the pump was running. All they could tell you was that there was power to that pump, and they then would assume that the pump is running. So that's why it was a little bit less than everyone else. But just so you have backup information.
Any other discussion on this? All those in favor of him opening up those envelopes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Giddy up.
For SCADA?
Yep.
SCADA. For SCADA, there are no envelopes. It was three. We sent the proposals. You have the proposals. There was a recommendation. So there is no really envelope to open.
Okay.
You can review it. We could still, you could approve the recommendation based on.
Thank you for the clarification. There's no envelope.
The motion needs to be amended to.
Yeah, there is no La La Land here.
So we have to review proposals?
Consider. So the motion is to open proposals, so we're not opening the proposals.
Right. What we're doing is you're going to, what you would do is approve the recommendation, and that's my fault. I probably should have wrote the motion better. You're approving the recommendation, which in, if you, the recommendation from our engineer is for Metropolitan Industries, the most responsive bidder.
Okay, wait a minute. All right, so we're still under discussion, so let's talk about that. So first, Mr. Wicklund.
Yes.
We're not opening anything. No La La Land here, as Dan said. So do we have to have an amended motion since we're reviewing proposals and slash recommendations?
Yes.
Yes. I do a new motion. So we do a new motion. So does Roberts have a rule for the motion in the second that's already in place?
In the same motion, withdraw the other and the vote, and then just retract it.
Does it have to be the same person?
Oh, okay, go ahead. All right, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we withdraw the original proposal for the SCADA system and recommend that we review the recommendations sent by the SCADA system companies for the Burr South, Burr North, and Grant Street West Pump Station.
Second. Outstanding. Any other discussion on that? So maybe, Dan, while you're opening up in those envelopes, you can help us again with the recommendation that came in from our third-party engineering company and just a brief synopsis of what that entailed.
So of the three that submitted, one was Gasvoda, one was Metropolitan, and the other was Wunderlich Malloch. And going off the top of my head, all of them require replacing the PLCs at the two older stations so that they could better adapt to this new technology. The one at Burr North specifically is an older station, hasn't been replaced, but doesn't have the outputs or the inputs to allow for this. So, as I said before, one of the companies wasn't able to specifically, in our opinion, able to maintain the system that they were proposing. Everything was outsourced. That's we didn't ask for that person. And another one was just a bit higher. Their service was limited. They had fewer people, and they also had to outsource some components of it. The one, which is Metropolitan, was everything was in-house, able to be done in-house with a price very similar to the one that was just higher. I think they were off by $5,000, and I could be off a little bit. But it was comparable with everything. It was what we anticipated, and it was with what we needed, which was both running the pump stations. We don't have shut-off from remote access. We do have the ability to check for the backup generator. We do have intrusion control. We do have the capability to do video cameras, which is not only for the pump station purposes, but believe it or not, for the actual levees themselves, because some of these areas are more remote, and we do have some vandalism occurring, so maybe we could catch some of that on things. So that is what we look for. To Tom, or to Mr. Gazdecki's point, the lowest wasn't the most responsive and something that we didn't really feel comfortable with, even though they were the lowest, because what we'd end up doing is paying three or four other parties to maintain the system that was inputted.
Which bidder was that? Which
Gasvoda. And the other ones were, I think, around 70,000.
I have a question. Considering the investment that we're going to be making in this technical system, I don't think that I think we should ask these particular companies to give us a demonstration, and before they present their bid,
to us in a proposal, because considering the climate change and climate situation going on in this country, we may get more rain than we anticipate, and we may be putting ourselves in a position where we may not be able to control flooding and protecting our communities. And I'm also concerned about the kind of equipment that they might provide, because I understand that, and I'm not, that the, I did a little study on this, and I understand that the some of this equipment is made by Chinese manufacturers, and they have indicated that sometimes there's a hidden virus in their equipment. In the event that when we do get it, or what company gets it, or what country or what community gets it, it may be a problem in the future, and we might be buying, you know, more equipment, and we might be having more problems. So I think this is more than just a notion.
And just to answer some of those questions, I can't answer them all, but I did have a demonstration given to me by both Wunderlich Malik and Metropolitan. I can tell you Metropolitan does work for the Hammond Water Department, as well as Whiting and several other communities in Illinois, none of which have had issues. Gazvoda does the work for Highland, which is why we sort of included them. And Wunderlich Malik was one of the companies that rebuilt our burr cell. So I've already seen some of the demonstrations on those. So if that takes, as far as Chinese manufacturing and all that, I don't know.
My other question is that since we have Ms. Mills here, do you know of any SCADA systems within the watershed system within our total district that has a SCADA system, and is it a total fail safe, or do we have any problems with it?
I can help her with that.
I'll help her. Every sanitary system and probably water system, and I would be willing to bet all of Northwest Indiana has some sort of form of SCADA system. That's what, to Mr. Gazdecki's point, was it's difficult. That's why you couldn't bid it out as saying this is what you want, because they're all sort of a little bit different. And so everyone has sort of a SCADA system, whether it's the water department, depending on how much water is in the tower, to the sanitary outflow into things. So and everyone has a system one way or the other. It's just a matter of which system. I can't recall what Hammond has or for their sanitary district, but everyone, and I would vouch anyone that would tell you that everyone has some sort of system with their utility to monitor it, whether it's hard lined or the line that we switched over there on State Line with the 54-inch water line. There is a way for them to monitor it as far as levels and outputs.
Well, Dan, thank you, Dan, but I was really concerned about hearing from the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, they have a much more vast watershed communities that they deal with, and I just was just curious to know.
We use the SCADA.
Could you go to this mic, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we have contractors to utilize the SCADA system. I mean, it is a system that we all throughout the district. So, I mean,
is there any problems?
No, we haven't had any major issues or reasons to believe that we don't want to use that in the future for any contracts. I have no objection or any issues, you know, in the use of the SCADA system. So.
Okay. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. So, I guess to Commissioner Gazdecki's point, looking at the bid tab, I thought it was for Garcia's interest, poorly presented. The notes didn't make it easy to tell the differences, and I think Metropolitan, the one they recommended, was the only one that was replacing the PLC or something like that. It was just really hard to read and sort of analyze yourself the summary of the tabulation the way it was presented. So I think to Commissioner Gazdecki's point, maybe just a relook at the technical evaluation would be warranted before we go ahead and recommend. And I guess to maybe potentially allay your concerns, Commissioner Castellanos, it's not new technology. I mean, I know ComEd has been using SCADA for probably 15 or 20 years that I know of. So it's not brand new. But you did say there's a video camera capability. Is that like add-on?
Yeah, that would be an input that they would be able to install.
Okay.
at the
We'll have the wiring and stuff to just hook it up, but
right.
It's not included in the proposal.
No, the camera is.
Because I think that is a good point.
The camera is extra, but it's a camera that we asked if we could ultimately get to that point.
Okay.
That's where we wanted to go.
Good.
Yeah. My question was along that line, similar, Dan. That was just scalability in terms of, you know, whether it's surveillance. And I guess my primary concern is the vintage and, you know, 2 or 3 years from now with all the updates and upgrades and various software packages and, you know, are we making sure whichever company that we're going with, that we're not getting stuck with a bill 2 or 3, 4 years down the road, you know, for scalability for something that it should have been capable of doing. You know, even 6 months to 12 months to a year, we tend to have a general idea how this type of stuff work. I'm a maintenance guy, and, you know, in terms of interfacing with software, especially SCADA, I'm pretty familiar with it overall. And it's been around a while. But those issues do come up. They're far few and in between. You know, of course, you have to make sure you're choosing the company that, you know, is going to include all of those capabilities in there. But I don't want to make an assumption in terms of scope of what they presented. But if you can just speak to that briefly.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, because one company, and I won't name them, offered sort of a end-of-the-line PLC that was practically obsolete. That if it did go out 6 months from now, good luck finding the replacement to it. So in order probably, and I'm only assuming that to reduce their cost, they got that to be competitive, and it wasn't something that was, you know, technology, as you know, changes all the time, but at least what we have is something that is workable, adaptable, and something that can we improve upon, and ultimately you're going to probably lose some life span on it, but at least the one that we believe we have is the most recent and thing that we can upgrade to current standards.
Okay.
As opposed to, but your point is good, because we had an issue at Grant West with a with an old PLC, and then finding the parts is difficult, and then, you know, then you're just battling. You're going on, you know, eBay looking for parts, which is nothing that you want to be doing.
Yeah. The only other thing is, besides the obsolescence issue, is in terms of I heard you mention earlier about remote access.
Like from phones and stuff.
Well, the remote access for the phone capability, but not having the capability, I guess it's built in, of course it's built in, where you could turn on, turn off.
Right.
We wouldn't want it, but...
We wouldn't want it either.
Yeah, but just the status of it, of course.
Sure.
In the event that the unthinkable happens, such as, you know, that issue there, or we see it on the rise, you know, we can have we'll have real time, you know, acquisition to it, and we're able to respond. That's my only concern. Is that the dependability and the reliability is there built into it, that it gives us the capability to be able to respond.
And on our contract with the maintenance, with Glenn, it's 2 hours of notification to get there. And the reason why we didn't want the capability to turn on and turn off is for the unforeseen reason that my memory is the greatest thing in the world, that I forget Glenn is over there doing work and it's off, and they could be down there, and I'm like, well, this should be on. And
yeah.
Then there's a problem. So... I don't need that.
Okay. Good rationale.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, we're going to go out on a roll call with this one, Mrs. Lambert. So this is to, I don't know, do you have the motion? I can't remember. I forgot what it was.
I didn't drink it.
I think all you're doing is going to technical support and review. It's not you're approving
pulling the trigger on this thing.
You're approving it pending technical review. So if there's a technical review by whomever, then it's going to be put out. But if it's as long as everything meets the smell test, I think you guys are going to approve it.
All right, let's get the bids and smell test.
Yeah, that's how he did. So David, that's
how we do it. All right, we got a motion and a second. Let's do it.
Thomas Lindsay?
Yes.
Tom Vazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony
Rodnick? Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
LeVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Boyd
Yes. All right, Mr. Chairman. I want to make a motion to direct the executive director to open proposals for the Chase Street Manhole Project and award to the lowest, most responsible bidder pending a review by your attorney and staff.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on this one.
These manholes are the last manholes that need to be fixed, lack of a better word.
Outstanding.
If you remember, we started between Harrison and Broadway where there were three manholes, I believe.
These are the manholes inside the levee.
Inside the levee. So in 2008, what happened in that area, specifically at Harrison and Broadway, which is why we chose that area, was that one of the manholes, the lids had popped off. Water had, during the surcharge, water had gotten into it while it was inside the river. It went underneath the levee, ultimately ended up in Gleason Park and the golf course and flooded IUN. Okay, so that's why we chose that area first about, I think it was 2 years ago at this time. So what we've done is we encased them, we extended them, we vented them out so that now the tops of the manholes are encased and also above the 200-year plus 3-foot elevation. So once we finished there, we went to Lyman, Manor Avenue ones, where that was completed. And then this is the final part, not to say that it was any least important, it just was a little bit more complicated because we had to clean up some areas where these are along Chase Street, along the east side of Chase Street, running from, and I always get this wrong, but it's the pump station was at 27th, I hope. Yeah. It is the 27th and Chase all the way back to the railroad tracks, which is about 37th and Chase. I believe there's 9 of them, if my memory is somewhat correct. And then what this would do is completely, in our eyes, protect that from happening again, whether flooding from coming from underneath the levee or penetrating through the levee. I don't know how else to say it. But
thank you. Any other discussion on this?
And I opened all the bids.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Yep.
Mr. Chairman, would you like the results of those bid openings?
Sure.
Just want to finish the last one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have another one?
We have one more.
We have one more.
That way we'll wrap it up. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we amend the pending licensing agreement with Maya Energy, LLC, and comply with their request for an extension of the lease start date to December 1st, 2017.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Ripe.
This is the property, and I'm probably best that Mr. Wicklund answer this as opposed to me, but we...
Mr. Wicklund?
Okay. That was a quick one.
Maya Energy, you may remember, has proposed to build a recycling facility on land where they're licensing them. And they have secured their permits from the state. They've secured Gary zoning. They apparently have gotten a little behind in obtaining their final financing. They were to make a $100,000 payment June 1. They weren't able to do that, and so they've asked for a 6-month extension. That's it in a nutshell.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Any questions with regards to this one? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And Mr. Ripe, evidently you're ready to let us know what happened with, I guess you're going to start with the Hammond Levy project.
I'm going to go as we go down and as you put up made motions, I'm going to go ahead and read them. For the Hammond Levy, which our engineer's estimate was $150,000. In no particular order, just as I open them up, Walsh and Kelly, 152,184.50. Reith and Riley, $235,276.70. $235.276.
I'm sorry, Mr. Repay, would you please read the first?
Sure. Walsh and Kelly is $152.184.50. Next one?
Yeah, that's there's only two.
Yeah, next one, just want to make sure everyone's got their little writing utensils, crayons. Gary North Loving Paving.
Nice.
The estimate was $400,000 by our engineer. Walsh and Kelly, $415,885.00. $415,885.00. Reith and Riley, $494,078.83. 494,078.83. And Chase manhole covers, our estimate was 75,000. That's what we were guessing it would be, and we were factoring it to be. First one, R.O. Oros, 81,750. Next one is Hassey Construction, 110,814. Next one is Gary Up Construction, 149,700. And Grimmer Construction, 89,415.
R.A. Oros was 81,750.
That's correct. That's all.
Okay. Moving right along.
So before we go to my favorite part of the statements to the board, if you guys want to have a conversation or say something, Commissioner Castellanos.
Yes, in regards to the bidders for the projects that we're giving, I'm hoping that they would include minority participation in these particular projects. Thank you.
Mr. Broadnick.
Nothing at the moment.
You guys, Nick?
Nothing. Thank you.
One little thing for me, because I don't get to talk enough, is we have the website. So if you all have some comments on that or some ways that we can improve it, please let us know. It's littlecalumetriverbasin.org. So we're always trying to look at that. We have every meeting on there. We put the minutes on there. It's a pretty robust system. We also have a place to go if it rains a lot. So keep that in mind, if you would. Mr. Wyslinski.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker.
Mr. Chair, I just want to first commend the board as well as the staff in the coordination of the inspections throughout the region. And pending the results from the Army Corps of Engineering, hopefully we are, indeed above board and making and fulfilling the responsibility of having a good rating with the inspection. So kudos to Dan and the staff and everyone who participated in making sure. It's been a long time coming. From what I understand, it's the first time that we'll have this level of approval. So look forward to all the participation from the great work that everyone's doing to make that happen. And as we continue to set policy in our role, with the contribution that we're making to help make that happen as well, not just limited to the watershed inspection with the pump stations, but also the Hammond tie back, Hobart mitigation, the work that goes into play with crediting and things of those issues. So all those things that are coming together essentially to help move the needle forward with improving the watershed. Just want to commend everyone.
Stand.
Mr. Chair.
Hold on a second. Mr. Wicklin.
Nothing to add. I forgot to add one thing. I would like to say to the Chief of Staff of Hobart, Mr. Robert Fulton, for coming and appearing on our show that we have at WLTH Radio. He made a lot of great, gave a lot of great information regarding the Potawatomi Indians and about the Hobart water, about I didn't know that there were 73,000 gallons of water that goes through Hobart every day. So, and that he was appreciative of the fact that what we did. And the most important thing came, I was pretty elated, the fact that the mayor of Hammond, Thomas McDermott, is that his name? That he got on the show the next day and commented about that he heard our program, and they thought very good about the Hobart Mitigation Project and what it's did for the community, and what the Army Corps of Engineer has done that will the what has economically enhanced their community. And I think if we all get a chance and opportunity, we all should go out there and see what was done and take a look at that Robertson Lake and see how it's coming along. It's very good. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us move this along, please step up to the podium, state your name and your address, and have at it. Yes, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Eric Sprennett, Highland, Indiana, Northwest Indiana Paddling Association. Mr. Whitaker, I apologize that you didn't get an opportunity to paddle the Little Cow with us this year. As it turned out, the weather was nasty, nasty, nasty that day. So we ended up canceling the trip for the second time since 2011, and hopefully you'll come back next year. I do have one other question, though. Every time I paddle the river, and I paddle past, I think it's the Burr Street North station, I always hear something gurgling in there. Are these pumps continually running in those pumping stations?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Actually, Burr North is run off of the pump, the sump pump, because we don't want to engage the two larger pumps because we'll wear them out. So what he's hearing probably gurgling is the sump pump that is taking the water, and as long as it's keeping up with the flow, then the larger pumps don't kick on and we don't wear them out.
It's the design on that one, so having the big units not kick on, the small unit run, so you might hear it.
But if I sit there and watch, I don't see anything coming out of there. It's just gurgling. I tell my kids to turn off the lights in their room when they hit the exit. It seems sort of crazy that something just sits and runs all the time.
Well, there's a lot of crazy things, Eric, but we'll make sure we keep an eye on it and make sure that that's not running when it shouldn't be running.
Thank you.
Sure.
And just so you know, that it wouldn't run unless there was water to make the float move, and the flap gates are mostly underwater, so you probably wouldn't see
it. And how often are we checking that? I mean, those inspections are what, monthly?
We inspect them monthly, but we go out there all the time. And the easy one for Gary North is it's a telltale because the detention pond will fill up when there's an issue, or the landslide drainage that goes back to Colfax and Calhoun will also show signs of extra water in them. So that's how we know that it's working.
Yeah, that was disappointing about the paddling thing not working.
I was too.
I was a big part of that. All right, that's it. Outstanding. Next.
You got one more. You got one more.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
This is
yes, sir.
Bob Fulton from the City of Hobart Stormwater District. Thank you, Mr. Costellanos. Most people cringe when they put a microphone in front of me. What I did want to do is invite the entire commission and staff and everybody here to come out to Hobart this Saturday between 10 o'clock and 5 o'clock. We're having our Water Fest. There's going to be all sorts of things related to water quality, water recreation, and again, we're also going to have the Pocahontas Band and the Potawatomi people doing their water ceremony and some other ceremonial things, and talk some about the historic connection with our rivers and lakes in this part of Northwest Indiana. So I want to extend this invitation to everyone on the board. It's being held at Festival Park. That's right on Old Ridge Road. It's at the site of the dam that formed Deep River, or Lake George on Deep River, 136 years ago. So thank you very much.
What time?
10 to 5.
It is from 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
10 to 5, thank you.
On Saturday. Anybody else? All right, folks, next meeting is going to be July 12th. We're going to start looking at taking the show on the road, so watch either the website. I think Jody has the sign-in sheet. If you put your email address on there, you'll get the notification on where those are. So we're going to go out and, you know, see the community and take the show on the road over the summer. And we'll go from there. If there's a motion to adjourn, we'll do that.
So we'll adjourn.
Thank you all for coming out. Happy summer.